Be perfect, Jesus says, as your Father in heaven is perfect. As the Lord echoes the words given by his Father through Moses in the first reading, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. At the same time that Jesus was giving us the beautiful passage from the gospel that we just heard, far northwest of where Jesus lived, beyond the mountains that we call the Alps in Switzerland, in places like France and Germany, England, or Scandinavia, there were people called by the Romans barbarians. They were called barbarians because it described the beards of the men, long, bushy beards that they had to go along with their wild, frizzy hair. These are people who lived in the forests of Central and Northern Europe. They were hunters and gatherers. They were a warrior people. Anything that they wanted, they got quite simply by fighting. No knowledge of the Ten Commandments, no knowledge, of course, of Jewish ethics or Greco-Roman civilization. The men were very terrifying to look at. Their wild hair and their animal skin clothes, just the smell of people who lived in the forest, and of course the women were not much better. Their lives were not very long. Usually by the age of 30 or 35, they were dead. They lived in ignorance and in superstition and in fear of the things they didn't understand, and of course in fear of one another. Over time, though, missionaries from the civilized parts of Europe who had received the gospel, Benedictine monks in particular, brought the gospel to these people and gave them Christian civilization. It took a while, but eventually they learned how to become farmers, they learned how to build cities and towns and live in peace and harmony with one another. Those people, by the way, were most of our ancestors. And we can thank God for what they received through the gospel in Christian civilization. These monks taught them to worship. They taught them how to work. They gave them an education and brought them into the light that can only come from Christ. Jesus wants us to do the very same thing, to continue that civilization of love. It's not always an easy thing because we still have part of our human nature in us. In fact, one historian once said that Christianity became barbaric when these barbarians became Christian because they still kept a lot of their fighting instinct in them. And so it makes us think about that sometimes the impression of the Christian faith doesn't always come because of the faith itself, but because of us who represent the faith, the kind of people that we are. We say that we're believers, we say that we're Christians, but what exactly are we doing with that faith that we received? St. Paul reminded the early Christians that you have become the temple of God. Not in simple exterior kind of an edifice, but you yourself become the very dwelling place of God himself. And because of that, this temple that we belong to, the temple that we are, is holy. As the church, as the body of Christ. And how does this happen? It's all by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit given to us first in baptism, and then, of course, completed in confirmation, the Spirit by whom we live. That Spirit which is love. The love exchanged between the Father and Son poured out on all of us, bringing us into the life of God himself. So then, does holiness require perfection? Does holiness require perfection in that we are entirely pure or entirely spotless or entirely flawless? And all of these things according to nature, I mean. Nature, that is, according to human qualities or human definitions or expectations. No, that's not what holiness consists of. It's not in being puritanical. Holiness consists in the fact that you and I are forgiven by God. We are forgiven by a God who is merciful and loving, as the responsorial psalm tells us. And because we have been forgiven by God, we in turn must forgive one another. We know that God has forgiven us because he loves us. And so holiness is in that, the fact that we are loved by God. And because we're loved by God, we must do what? In turn, love one another. We've received from the Lord everything that is good. Everything that's good comes from the hand of God to us. And so we receive all these things from the Lord gratefully. And in doing so, then we give to one another. We are generous because God has been generous with us. And with all that, to be thankful. To be thankful to the Lord for what he's done. And in realizing how merciful the Lord has been to us, we in turn show mercy toward one another. It doesn't mean that we excuse things. We're always calling people to come back into holiness, as St. Paul says. That we do that. That God catches the wise in their own ruses, and the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. That we are here to bring holiness to the world. That we are here to be God's ambassadors, to use another word. We're here to assist, to encourage, and to inspire one another to a degree, a greater degree, a deeper love of Christ, and the living out of the commandments and the Beatitudes. The past couple weeks, the church has been giving us gospel passages from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that kind of gives us the blueprint for Christian living. So I would suggest this. As we prepare for the Lenten season, which is coming up in just a couple weeks, that we go back and take out our scripture, our Bibles, and read these scripture passages. Go back to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, and look at what Jesus says, what the expectation of the Father is for all of us. To examine our lives by the words of Christ, and to think about what he is asking us to do with our lives. The Lord is asking us to go above and beyond the call of duty, not simply merely doing the things that we have to do and then grumble about it, but instead Jesus wants us to happily look for opportunities to do something for the glory of God and for the good of our neighbor. Those things then bring God's grace in us. And we realize that when it comes to the things that we do, there is nothing that is small in God's eyes when love is put into it. That's the key to sanctity, doing all things with love. Not self-love, but love for God and love for other people. The question is, why are we here? Where do we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going? Well, we come from God. And our destiny is to go back to God. And in the meantime, we're meant to be like God. That's the whole point. The fullness of the image of God in our soul is the final goal of every human life. It's only in being Christ-like that we find our meaning and our happiness. And Christ is our peace. We're always seeking the vision of God, to seek God in everything and to serve him as he deserves to be served. Everything that we do, every action, every thought, every word, every deed, everything leads us either to Christ or it will lead us away from Christ. And the choice is ours. But God has given us everything we have to do his will. He gave us a body. He gave us a soul. He gave you your passions, your desires, and all of these things are good because God puts them there. He gave us a mind. He gave us a will. And with that mind and will, then we develop habits. We develop virtues by God's grace. Hopefully they're good ones. Everything that God has blessed us with must be focused and directed toward him. So, control yourself in the pursuit of pleasure. There are good things that God has made, but they are to be used only as God instructs. We have the capacity to choose and control ourselves. We have a free will, and so we do that. To be composed and be in control in the pursuit of pleasure. To be strong in doing what's right and strong in doing what's good in the face of danger and temptation. We are to establish peace between ourselves and our enemies. Not always an easy thing to do. Jesus does want us to love them and forgive them. That can be hard. But we must pray for them. That will lead to the other two. But establish peace between ourselves and our enemies, and also peace between ourselves and God. We are to think with the mind of God, make choices in line with the will of God. Again, in Christ we find our happiness and our peace. All this done with faith. All this done with faith. To believe in our final goal, our eternal destiny, in being a people of prayer, to pray always and to lift up our hearts in hope, and to love Christ with everything that we have, with everything that we are. To begin to love God as He ought to be loved, to love other people as other images of God. Hard though it might be to see Him, He's there. And to love the Lord in that way. If this love directs everything that we do, our lives will be filled with the strength and beauty of Christ. As long as grace and love remain in our souls, that we are faithful to receiving the sacraments constantly in a state of grace, we increase the presence of Christ by grace. The presence and the image of the Lord Jesus are there. If we persevere in the love of God, then we're going to reach our goal. That is, to be the saints that Christ has called us, every one of us, to be. To see God face to face, and then ultimately, in the end, to be what He meant us to be. His very own image and likeness. Perfect as He is perfect, holy as He is holy.